He wants to speak something to these very exalted Vaishnavas, Karnamuni and Devahuti, the father and the mother, so-called father and mother of the personality of God. Before commencing that expression, he fixes his mind completely upon the personality of Godhead. A very nice example of this in the second canto of the Bhagavatam also, where just after Maharaj Parikshit has asked his introductory questions, you know, the essence of the Bhagavatam, what is the duty of a person who is about to die, come to the end of the first canto, and what subject matter should such a person hear, chant, and always remember? So the second canto begins with the first three chapters where Shukadeva Goswami responds. Before he responds, he fixes his mind upon the personality of Godhead, in pure devotion, and offers prayers unto those, such as his father Vyasadeva, who, from whom he received this transcendental understanding. And then, once again, after hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit asks a whole chapter of questions. Not like, oh, thank you very much, end of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But because he's Maharaj Parikshit, he, eager to hear, because of his eagerness to hear, the message that Shukadeva Goswami has given prompts him to inquire more. A whole explosion of more inquisitiveness comes from him. And once again, before Shukadeva Goswami speaks, he fixes his mind upon the personality of Godhead. In fact, the questions that are asked, embedded in the questions, is this essence question: how does Brahma create? How does he do it? But he's not asking, like, you know, what's the technology of it. He's asking, like, exactly how does it happen? What is the consciousness of Lord Brahma as he's doing this technology? That's like how you do it, how you do devotional service, the essence of devotion. What's in the heart of Lord Brahma as he's conducting the affairs of creation? And it's so beautiful how, just by his meditation upon the personality of Godhead, without even directly addressing Maharaj Parikshit, he's glorifying the personality of Godhead and glorifying and glorifying, and by glorifying the personality of Godhead, he answers the question. How he does it? He does it through the potencies of the personality of Godhead. He's just an instrument of the potencies of the personality of Godhead. And the potencies of, that's how the technology works. One of the principles of life comes from life, the scientific argument that Prabhupada would challenge of the scientists, is the scientists have this fundamental notion that says there's only one thing, and that's matter, and the laws that govern matter, and that's the only one thing there is. And the fundamental message of Vaishnava perspective is that's not the only thing that there is. Matter doesn't act, even there's laws of matter, there has to be an agent or spirit or life that activates matter. And so many examples to explain that principle, demonstrate that principle. And similarly, the heart of the devotee, although the how to as with all of us, the how to perform devotional service information may be there. Certainly is there. Greater or lesser degree is there. But the technology is not the essence. It's the devotion to the personality of Godhead. It's the activating component, the touch with the personality of Godhead. And that's Brahma's heart. Tene Brahma Vidaya Adikavaye. How it is that Brahma received this transcendental knowledge is because his heart was pure. And because his heart was pure, he could perform the act of creation. That's the answer, in essence, part of the answer in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. And here he's this remedy, exhibiting that same capacity. He wants to express his devotion. One expression of his devotion, just as Prabhupada explains he translates in the purport, in the verse, for his intended activities as an incarnation. After worshipping the Supreme Lord with gladdened senses and a pure heart, for his intended activities as an incarnation. The activities of his particular incarnation is he is the creator. Trishti Shakti is invested in Lord Brahma. The Lord's own, Krishna's own creative potency is invested in Brahma. So what's Brahma's service? To take that gift which the Lord has given him and use it in his service. We all have gifts that we've received from Krishna. Every living entity has something, or a number of somethings, that we receive from Krishna. Every living entity has something, or a number of somethings, that we receive from Krishna. And devotional service is an expression of our recognizing that gift which is Krishna's given and using it in his service. It's very simple, and it's very sublime. So devotional service is not just the technology of how to do it. Devotional service is the recognition of the relationship that we have with Krishna, that whatever it is that we have is invested potency given by Krishna to walk across the room, to blink our eye, to digest our food, to whatever it is that we do, whatever it is that we do. And if Krishna withdraws that capacity, then we don't have that capacity anymore. But whatever capacity we have, devotional service is an expression on his behalf, pleasing unto him, anukulyena Krishna anushilana, bhaktir uttama. That's what bhakti is. Following the path, or following the exemplary activities of perfected souls. So here's the head of our sampradaya, Lord Brahma. And he wants to speak something. Before speaking something, some service, he fixes his mind upon the personality of Godhead. And here, sabhajayan vishudhena. He worships the personality of Godhead with gladdened senses. Now, it doesn't give a detailed description. What did he do? It doesn't indicate necessarily that he got out his shalagram shila and set up a little altar and performed puja. And so there may be the external formalization of that type of worshiping the personality of Godhead, but it can also be an internal affair within the heart of the devotee, that they fix their mind upon the personality of Godhead in the mood of serving him. In the mood of serving him. Even the words of appreciation that are about to flow, appreciating Devahuti and Kardama Muni's position. Or whatever it is that we do.
This is the characteristic of a liberated soul. And it's not only the mind, here it's specifically his pure heart, Vishuddhena, Chetasa, but his senses also. Devotional service is practical. It's senses engaged in objects of the senses. Exactly what an impersonalist is afraid of. In the purport, there's mention of one Brahmana who spoke one prayer. So the reference is to Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Raghupati Upadhyaya is that one Brahmana who came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Upadhyaya was a Brahmana of vast learning, great character, and a perfect gentleman. Vaishnava gentleman from Bihar. And he came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And just coming into the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so enlivened. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appreciating the devotion within his heart, he was also so enlivened. And the first thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said was, "Speak something about Krishna." And so he spoke something about Krishna. He said, the quote that's given is a verse from Padyavali by Rupa Goswami. "There are those who are afraid of material existence and they worship the Vedas." So the question is, speak something about Krishna. So the Vedas are spoken by Krishna, and some portions of the Vedas are speaking or alluding, apparently at least, to the impersonal feature of the personality of Godhead. Just as Bhanu Maharaj very brilliantly was describing how this works in the Vedas. Why would the Vedas allude to the impersonal? But there are those that don't want to surrender to Krishna, but they don't like material existence either. And so, the language of the Shruti mantras are there within the Vedas. And so, there are those who worship the Vedas being afraid of material existence. And there are others who want to advance in fruitive activities. And so there are portions of the Vedas that are the attraction for those. Some worship the Smriti and others worship the Mahabharata. But as for me, as far as I am concerned, I worship Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj. Why? Because in his courtyard, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is plain. I worship Nanda Maharaj. That's tell me something about Krishna. So to worship Krishna in the mind of a devotee, to worship Krishna is to worship Krishna's devotees. Krishna confirms, "One who is my devotee is one who worships my devotee." That's my devotee. And that's the heart of Lord Brahma. It's the heart of Raghupati Upadhyaya. It's the heart of Rupa Goswami. So many things in the Vedas, so many things in the Smritis, in the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata is there for giving moral instruction, largely. What is proper conduct? And it's not that we don't care about proper conduct, but within the heart, that which drives our following of proper conduct, that which drives our activities of bhakti, of devotional service, the regulations of bhakti, at least in the heart of one who's the liberated soul, as is Brahma being described here, what's in their heart is this absorption in Krishna. And absorption in Krishna means absorption in those who are very dear to Krishna. So he's come all the way from Brahmaloka. He's gone way out of his way to come before Kardama Muni and Devahuti just to pay his respects to them, to worship as he's worshipped the Personality of Godhead, to worship them. He's a big personality. He's Lord Brahma. He's the original father of all fathers in this world. He is the receiver of the Vedas. He's the most learned person in the whole creation, which has come from him. And he's coming before Kardama Muni and Devahuti to offer his worship unto them. The implication here is one should not be absorbed in thought of one's particular designation. If one is making that mistake, just this morning I was listening to Prabhupada describing this, the pitfall of upadis and how many upadis there are based upon the body. So the body is born in this nation, and so I identify with this nation. The body is born in this state, so I identify with this state. One body is born of this color or this gender or this whatever the group, or whatever the, you know, I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor, I'm a whatever it is. I'm a sannyasi, I'm a grihastha, and Prabhupada summarized it, unlimited numbers of upadis. But bhakti means sarvupadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Going to the liberated soul, or the path of liberation, must entail giving up this misconception of the self in terms of the body, and even in devotional service, acting in terms of the body. It's one who does so is possessed of hellish mentality, our scripture teaches. One who thinks of someone in terms of those designations, or thinks of oneself in terms of those designations. Exhibited very nicely here by Lord Brahma. He's beyond such designations. He's on the liberated platform. One other nice point embedded very subtly within the verse, excuse me, within the purport, is Lord Brahma's position is that he's not exactly like a common living entity, since he is liberated from the majority of follies of the common living entities. He was in knowledge of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he worshipped the Lord's activities with a glad heart. He praised Kardama Muni. So, liberated from the majority of the follies of the living entities. So, what does that mean? Just like our verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, the praya, almost completely gone. Nashta, eliminated. Prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya, the devotional service that's nityam, that it's unbroken, eternal, unchanging, arises in this nishtha phase, just a little Madhurya Kandambani subclass over here, is that the nishtha stage, or firm faith stage, is this expression where almost completely, well, why not completely? Well, completely is a more advanced stage. But even in this almost completely stage, it's a very advanced stage. So strong, so advanced is this stage that even if some kind of impurity, residual tendency arises, Krishna eliminates that. Krishna eliminates residual tendency. Just as he describes in Bhagavad Gita in the final of the Chaturshloki verses, where jnana dipena basvata. If there is some residual tendency, supposing we're engaged in devotional service, up to this stage, up to this nishtha stage, where there's full faith, and because of that very careful execution of devotional service, practically all of the impurities, the abhadras or anarthas, are eradicated. But still, because of so many, 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 many lifetimes of devotional service, tendency is still there. The example is given of this tendency notion. The example is given where some place that's been very unclean, very nasty, let's say vomit or something like that. So you clean it up. And after you clean it up, it's all clean. There's still this bad odor, yes? The residual from that bad thing. So like that bad odor of years and years and lifetimes of impure activity may still remain, that lingering odor, that lingering residual tendency. Like this example, the blades of the fan still spinning. Residual tendency. So what about that? Tendency. And if circumstances arises, tendency may come out. Krishna says, in such a case, I personally intervene and correct and check that tendency in the heart of the devotee by the shining lamp of knowledge. Jnana dipena basvata. The Krishna factor prevails when such residual tendency may still be lingering. This is our protection in bhakti, special protection in bhakti. So here, Lord Brahma is being described by Srila Prabhupada in his purport as since he is liberated from the majority of the follies of the common living entities, he was in knowledge of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of God. It's not that Lord Brahma is on this nishtha stage, but sometimes the question is raised, well, Srila Prabhupada, or whoever is the person being addressed, Prabhupada was once addressed, what about Brahma's becoming attracted to his own daughter? How do we understand that? In one circumstance where I was present, Prabhupada became like lightning and thunder simultaneously. And his answer was, Brahma is pure enough. Like, he's fully under the shelter and care and protection of Krishna. He's in this liberated position. And he's the liberated position. What is it, the criterion? One who knows Krishna. And one who knows Krishna, what's the indication that they know Krishna? That they're fully engaged in devotional service, their mind is fully fixed upon him. And there's nothing else that they do but his devotional service. This is the standard that we're receiving in this purport. That's the standard. And because of that standard, he knew this is not just their son. This is the personality of Godhead. And he came to worship and glorify him. But once again, he came, that the exhibition of his understanding of Krishna is how great are Kapila and Devahuti. Their devotion is so strong that they've invited, and he's accepted the invitation of the personality of Godhead to appear as their son. I worship them. And by worshiping them, I'm worshiping the personality of Godhead. This is our teaching of devotional service. So we're having an early class, and it's a short one, and the program has to continue timely, so I'm going to end.